Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Nun Gimel. The Mishnah mentioned an interesting case of someone is digging in a pit that he doesn't own. He's making it wider and he's making a lot of noise banging in the pit. An animal is walking by and he gets startled by the sound of the digger and he gets dizzy and he falls into the pit that's owned by whoever owns the pit. And so now it seems that there's two people that should be liable. Is it the digger of the pit that caused him to be startled and fall in? Or should the owner of the pit be liable because he's the one that owns the pit in the first place? The Gemara is going to discuss that in a minute. But first, we're going to address something else that the Mishnah says, which is only if the animal falls forwards, nafal lifanav, then the owner of the pit is liable. But if it falls backwards, then the owner of the pit is exempt. So what's the difference if it falls forwards or backwards? That's what we're going to address. So nafal lefanav v'chule, amarav lefanav, lefanav mamash, lacharav, acharav mamash. Rav says, I'm going to interpret the Mishnah literally. If it falls head first into the pit, then the owner of the pit is liable. If it falls backwards, then the owner of the pit, I'm saying owner of the pit, but it could be the digger also. We'll see that in the next section, who is liable. So if it falls backwards, then they are not liable. And it means literally, right, backwards. Zev zeh babor, and both cases, forwards or backwards, is talking about falling into the pit itself, as opposed to what Shmuel is going to say. Now, what would be the reason why there should be a difference? Rav leta'amed, amar Rav, bor shechiva alav Torah, lehevlo velo habato lachabato. Rav follows through with his own interpretation, which he said earlier, that a pit that the Torah says one is liable if it falls in, it's only if it gets damaged or killed because of the terrible fumes that are in the pit, but not because of the impact. Assuming it's in the Reshut HaRabim, the impact on the ground, that's just the ground. I don't own the ground. What I did, if I created the pit, is I made the pit, and that's where the fumes are collecting. So therefore, if it falls head first, so then as it's falling, as its head goes in, it breathes from the fumes, and then it dies. So that's why I would be liable. But if it goes back in first, then it didn't die from the fumes because its back went in first, not its head. And so therefore, they would not be liable. That's Rav's explanation. Shmuel says, no, it doesn't matter whether it falls head first or back first. It's all the same. Shmuel also is consistent with his reasoning because he said that an owner of a pit is liable whether the animal is killed or damaged from the fumes, or all the more so if it's by the impact of it, the impact of it falling onto the bottom, one is also liable. And therefore, it makes no difference whether it falls head first, and it dies from fumes, or in any way, backwards, or any type of way, and it dies from the impact, that one will also be liable. So therefore, that does not make a difference. But Shmuel still has to explain our Mishnah. So in what case do we say that if it was startled by a digger and fell backwards, then they are not liable? We're talking about a case where it's nearby, it gets startled by the digger, and it trips on the pit, at the edge of the pit, but it doesn't fall into the pit. It's able to save itself and fall the other way. It falls outside the pit. So it is because of the digger, it was the one that caused it to be startled, but it didn't actually fall in the pit. So certainly the owner of the pit's not going to be liable, and the digger is only did something indirectly. I mean, if you scream in the middle of the street and then someone looks back and then bangs into something as they're walking or driving, right? You're not going to be held liable just for making a noise. That's just indirect causation. It's true. It's not a very nice thing that you did. You can't cause someone to be startled and then they were damaged, but you can't hold that person directly liable. That Shmuel says that's the case that the Mishnah is talking about. Not that the animal falls in back first, but rather that it falls back out of the board, right? Away from the board. That's what it means, back. All right, Itibe, a challenge against Rav. from the following braita. Bebor ben ben lefanav ben lachadav hayav tiyubta derav. This braita says that if it falls in a pit, whether forwards or backwards, one is liable. So this seems to be pretty clear that in either way, it's falling in the pit, forwards and backwards, and is liable. This braita is explaining that the Mishnah doesn't mean that it fall backwards in the pit, because backwards in the pit would also be liable. Seems a clear proof for Shmuel that backwards means out of the pit. And so this is a serious challenge to Rav. We're going to see three responses, different ways to interpret this braita in accordance with Rav. Answer number one, Amar Rav Chisda, Modeh Rav Bebor Bershuto Dehayav Mishum Damar Le Miman Afshach I Behabla Mit Habla Didachu I Behabata Mit Habata Didachu. Rav Chisda explains that this Braita is talking about in a private domain, whereas the Mishnah was talking about a public domain. In a public domain, that's where Rav says that at a pit that kills by Hebel, by lethal fumes, that's where one is liable, but not by impact, because if it's impact, it belongs to the ground belongs to the public. The owner of the pit says it's not my fault. But if the pit is in one's own or one's own property, then he said, you know, other people can come in. He said he allowed people to walk into his property, but still retained ownership of the pit itself. Well, then the owner of the animal that falls in could say, either way you're liable. If it's because of the fumes that are in there, so these are your fumes in the pit in the pit that you dug in your land. And if it's from impact, that's also your land. You own the field, you own the bottom of the pit, and so the impact on the bottom is also your fault. So even Rav would agree in that case that whether it falls forwards or backwards, the owner of the pit would be liable, and that's what this baraita is talking about. All right, good answer. Answer number two, Rabba Amar. Hachav maiskinan b'mitapech, dinfal a'ape ve'itapich ve'nafal agabe, tabla da'hanibe a'hanibe. Rabba says where this baraita is talking about a case where it flipped over, it did a tumble sauce in midair, a 180. Pretty good. And it fell face forward first, breathed in the bad fumes and died from that. It happened to flip back over on its way down and landed on its back. But since the fumes already took effect and killed it, so that it's the fumes that killed it, even though it fell on its back at the end. So that's what it means. Ben lefana ben aharav. All right, not so easy to fit that in. But that's the second answer. Rav Yosef amar hacha benizke bor b'shor askinan. Mainihu shev ishet memav de lashana lefanav velashana lacharav mechayev. Rav Yosef interprets it completely differently. He's talking about not the damage to the ox, but the damage to the bor. We're talking about a cistern that's full of water, and this animal fell in, causing the water to be ruined. And so this baraita is teaching whether the animal fell forwards or backwards and ruined the water, the owner of the animal is liable to pay for the cistern owner for his ruined water. In that case, it wouldn't make a difference if it fell forwards or backwards, but this is not talking about the case of the Mishnah at all. It's the opposite. And so that's how Rav Yosef explains away this baraita. All right, so that's the three answers to save Rav. Now, not only did we solve the problem of this baraita according to Rav, now we even have a different baraita that supports Rav. Tane Rav Hananya l'sayua l'Rav v'nafal ad shipol derech nefila mikan amru nafal lefanav mikol hakiriyah chayav l'achara mikol hakiriyah patur ze v'ze bebor. So this is citing a midrash on the word venafal, if an ox falls into the bor. So what is that we learn from that? That only if it falls in the usual manner of falling. So based on this, we said, mikan amru, this is a midrash that is a midrash halacha from the time of the Tanaim that's quoting a Mishnah. This is typical, and we find it in the Mechilta, and the Sifra, all midrash halacha, that it quotes a Mishnah and it uses the language of Mikan Amru, which does seem to prove that Mishnah as a work is earlier than the Midrashe Halacha, even though they're both Tanaitic. So it says Venafal and says, therefore, if it falls forwards because of the digger, one is liable. If it falls backwards because of the digger, one is not liable. But both of them are talking about in the pit. And this is part of the Braita, even though these words are not in the Mishnah, but they're part of the Braita. So either the Braita has a different version of our Mishnah, or it's adding in an explanation of it. Either way, this Braita is exactly the words of Rav, and so, not exactly the words, but it does say Zev is Zebabor. Both of them are falling into the pit, and this supports Rav's interpretation. All right, that's the end of the Rav and Shmuel debate. And now we're going back to the question of who has to pay in such a case. Amar mor nafalef anav mikol kiriyah hayav. The Mishnah said that if it falls forwards because of the digger, he is liable. Ve'amai ne'ma kore garam le. The Gemara is assuming that when the Mishnah says he is liable, it's referring to the owner of the pit. So now we ask, why should the owner of the pit be liable? The digger is the one that caused the animal to fall in by making noise and startling the animal. So why is the digger off the hook? Amar Rav Shimi bar Asher hamaneh Rabbi Natan hi d'amar ba'al habor hezekah ka'abid v'chol echad de'lo afshad l'ishtalomeh mehai mishtalem mehai. So Rav Shimi bar Asher says the author of this Mishnah has to be Rabbi Natan, who says that the owner of the pit, he created a hazard there in the public domain. And so therefore, any time the digger cannot pay or doesn't need to pay, so then the rest of it will be paid by the owner. In other words, indeed, both of them are on the hook. The digger is the most immediate cause, and so yes, he has to pay, but anything left over, if whatever reason he can't or doesn't have to pay the entire amount, so the owner of the pit will have to make up the rest of it. Detanya, shor sedachav et chavero lebor, ba'al ashor hayav, ba'al abor patur. Rabbi Natan omer, ba'al ashor meshalem mechsa, ba'al abor meshalem mechsa. Here's the source of this machloket, which is a slightly different case. This is where one ox pushes another ox into a pit, and it falls down into the pit and dies. And so the pushing ox is similar to the digger here that startles the ox, even though the pushing ox is a bit more direct, so it might not be exactly the same, but it's similar enough that we're comparing the two cases. So the owner of the ox that pushes is liable because he is the immediate cause. And we're assuming a case where the ox that pushes it so hard that it would have killed it even if there was no pit there. So the owner of the pushing ox is liable, and the owner of the pit is not liable. That's what Tanakama says. Tanakama says you go by the first cause. The first immediate cause is entirely liable, and the liability is not shared by the secondary cause, the owner of the pit. However, Rabbi Natan disagrees and says that the owner of the pushing ox pays half, and the other guy pays half. They are both liable. Both caused this damage to occur, and therefore they split the difference. Each one pays half. And so that would explain our Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that the owner of the pit is liable, it doesn't mean fully liable. The digger will pay some, and the owner of the pit will also pay some. So since we're assuming that the owner of the pit pays something, this Mishnah must be the opinion of Rabbi Natan. Now, first we're going to analyze the opinion of Rabbi Natan. Here it says he pays half and half. But there's a braita that says gives a different ratio. Atanya Rabbi Natan omer ba'al habor meshalem shelosha halakim u'ba'al ashor rebiya. Here in the same case where one ox pushes another into the pit, here it says that the owner of the pit pays 3/4 of the damage, and the owner of the ox pays only 1/4. So why come it says here half-half, and here it says 3/4, 1/4? La kashya habetam habemoad. So no problem. The second braita is talking about a short time. Since it's a short, the ox that pushed the other one in is itself a short time. Therefore, the owner of the pushing ox only has to pay chatzi nezek. Now, of that chatzi nezek, he shares the responsibility with the pit owner. So he only has to pay half of the chatzi nezek, which is 1/4, and that leaves the owner of the pit has to pay the rest of it. Whereas this case is talking about a shor mu'ad. Shor mu'ad is liable to pay the entire amount. The owner of the pit also has to pay the entire amount, and therefore they split it 50-50. Good. Ubetam Maika Sabad. Now back to this, the second Braita. How do you calculate a quarter and three quarters? I understand the quarter part, but where'd you get the three quarters? Ika Sabad Hai Kule Hezeka Abad Hai Kule Hezeka Abad Hai Mishalem Palga Hai Mishalem Palga. If you say that both the pusher and the owner of the pit are responsible initially for the entire amount, so then they should pay half and half. Even though the shortan pays chazin ezek, fine, he's liable to chazin ezek, so he should pay chazin ezek. He should pay the entire half that he's liable for, because, in other words, essentially, fundamentally, they both are responsible for all of the full liability. They both have full liability. Now, the shortan, well, in any case, he has limited liability to half of it, but fine. So, but he's still fully responsible, so therefore he should pay the entire half that he would pay no matter what, and then the other guy would pay half. So if you say they're both fully liable, they should still pay half. And if you say, you conceptualize differently, that each one has only half liability. The first one is saying they all have full liability, but since the victim doesn't have to get paid double, so they'll each pay half. But in this conceptualization, each one has just half liability. Okay, fine. I'm willing to go along with that. But then look at the calculation. Then it would make sense for the owner of the pit to say, listen, I'm only half liable, so I'll pay half. Good, that's 50%. The owner of the pushing ox says, my ox is a shortam. I'm only liable to half, and of that, I pay chasin ezek. So that's only a quarter. So it should be that the owner of the pit pays a half. The owner of the pit, of the pushing ox pays a quarter, and the last quarter, v'idach riba'a mafsid, the victim will lose out on the other quarter. So either it should be that they pay half-half, or a quarter and half, and lose out the other quarter. But how could you calculate in such a way that it would end up with one quarter and three quarters? Why should the owner of the pit have to pay three quarters? So we have two answers. Amarava. Rabbi Natan Dayanahu Benachitum Kadidina. Don't worry about Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan was a judge in monetary matters, and he was able to get to the depth of the matter, right? So you can't just look at a surface level. You have to really dig down conceptually to understand, but he's right in the end. As follows, Le'olam Kasabad, Hai Kule Hezeka Abad, Vahai Kule Hezeka Abad. Really saying the first assumption, both are 100% liable. Udeka Kashialach, Leshalem Hai Palga, Vahai Palga. Now we asked about that. If they're both 100% liable, then let each pay half, because so even the owner of the short tam is still liable 100%, so he'll pay half, because Chasin Ezek, but he should still pay all of that half. Why don't we say that? Mishum damar le bal ashor le bal habor shutafai mai ahan yali. Because in that case, the owner of the ox can make a claim against the owner of the board and say, what has your partnership helped me? Right? I know we're both 100% liable, but you are partners with me in the 100% liability. And your being partner makes no difference to me. If you weren't around, and let's say I owned the pit also, if I own the pit. But if there was no pit there, and my ox pushed the other ox and killed it, I would pay half. Now that your pit is there, and you share in the liability, I should still have to pay half? Your partnership should reduce my payment. And so that's a valid claim. That makes a lot of sense. And therefore, yes, even though they are both 100% liable, still the partnership should reduce the payment of the owner of the pushing ox, and so it does down to a quarter. That's one answer. Or another answer, Ibaitema. Leolam Kasabad Hai Palga Zeka Abad Bahai Palga Zeka Abad. Udeka Kashialach Balashemeshalem Palga Balashemeshalem Rabia Vidach Rabia Nafsid. Maybe indeed each one is only liable to half in the first place, and that which you asked, well, in that case, the owner of the pit should pay half, and the owner of the ox should only pay a quarter, right? Half of his liability. And then the last quarter, the victim will lose. That was a good question. The answer is, Bishum damar le'bal ashor le'bal habor. Because here, the owner of the ox that's killed, the owner of the victim ox, has a claim or two that he can present to the owner of the pit. And he can say as follows, Ana Torai beberach ashkechite. Listen, all I know is I came to the scene and I see my dead ox in your pit, right? The police come, the scene of the accident, and this is what they see. At ketalte, and therefore you are the one that killed it, right? I'm just looking here. My ox is dead in your pit. You're responsible. My deit li leishtalume mehaich mishtalamna. My delet leishtalume mehaich mishtalamna mimach. And therefore, I can come and claim against you that which I can get paid from someone else, right? From the pushing ox. I'll get that. And you don't have to pay that. That's fine. Whatever the maximum I can get from him, which is a quarter. But that which I don't receive from him, I'm going to receive it from you. In other words, because in the end, the entire ox is in the pit, dead. And so the pit is the final, you know, cause of it. So just looking at the evidence here, that makes you fully responsible to pay. Even though there was a partner, right? That's your problem. Okay, so having a partner will help you, whatever I can get from him, but otherwise you have to pay the rest of the three quarters. So that's the two explanations that Rabbi Natan can give. Ramar Rava, Hiniach Eben al Pi Habor, Uba Ashor Vinitkar Bavinafal Babor, Banul Machloket Rabbi Natan Verabanan. So now, yet a third, we saw a case of a digger causing an animal to fall. Then we saw a case of another ox that pushed another ox into the pit. And now we have a third variation of if one guy comes along and puts a stone at the opening of a pit that someone else owns. And then an ox comes along and trips on the stone and falls into the pit. And so Rava says, this is the same as the other case, machloket between Rabbi Natan and Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, the owner of the stone will have to pay. According to Rabbi Natan, they will share it. Depending on this for short time or short mu'ad, that will be the different ratios, but it's the same machloket as the other case. We ask, Peshita, isn't that obvious? What's the difference if it pushed it in or if it's a stone that one put there? And he says, here's the difference. Here's why we might have thought otherwise. This is Rava's Chidush. Ma'udetem ha'atam hu d'amar ba'al ha'bor le'ba'al ha'shor ila bera didi torah didach hava katil le'. In the case that we said before of one animal pushing the other, so then the owner of the pit can say to the owner of the pushing ox, If not for my pit, your ox would have pushed it so hard that it would have killed it anyway. So therefore, I am not fully responsible. Aval hacha masi amar lebal eben lebal habor ila beradidach abnadidi mahava abda. But in this case, with the rock, the owner of the rock can say to the owner of the pit, If not for your pit, my rock wouldn't have done anything. What would it have done?
If
the ox would have tripped on my little stone there, so it would have fallen down and would have gotten up and kept walking. Nothing would have happened. So I might have thought that these cases are different. In the case of the ox that pushes and the pit. Well, in that case, yeah, the one that pushed it would have caused it to be killed anyway. And so that's a case where it makes sense that both would be responsible. But I might have thought that a stone by itself wouldn't have done anything. So maybe in that case, the owner of the pit, it would be fully responsible because the stone by itself would not have hurt it. So the Rava comes to teach us that, in fact, the owner of the pit can say, yeah, it's true, my pit killed it, but if it was not for the rock, it would not have fallen into the pit in the first place. And therefore, even though the rock didn't have power by itself to kill it, still it was the immediate cause of it tripping and falling in to the pit in the first place. And therefore, Rava's teaching, even in that case, Rabbi Natan would say that they share the responsibility. Now that we've introduced the opinion of Rabbi Natan that two different people can share liability and payment, we're going to see an application to an interesting case. Itmar. Shor v'shor pisuleh ha-mukdashin she-naghu. If you have two oxen that are both attackers, that attacks a third victim ox. But the two attacking ones are of different statuses. One is just a regular unconsecrated one that's owned by someone, and that person is liable. But the other one is an ox that was consecrated and now got some kind of psul, is disqualified. Even though it's disqualified, however, it can't be sacrificed, that means, but it still has some holiness. Now, the Gemara adds here, at least in the printed editions, Mainihu Shor Bechor de la Parik Le. We're talking specifically about not just any consecrated animal that got a blemish or was disqualified, because in most of those cases, you could simply redeem the holiness of that animal to another one, and then the disqualified animal becomes a regular animal for which one would be liable. So we must be talking specifically about an animal that's a bechor, which is consecrated automatically just by being first born, where that gets a blemish, where there is no redemption. You can't redeem it. Instead, the Kohen can eat it, but it still retains some level of holiness. Okay, the whole point of this is that any animal that is consecrated, one is not liable if it does damage. So really, this whole case could be simplified by one ox that's a regular unconsecrated one, and another one that is consecrated. So we could have set up the statement that way. The Gemara wants to introduce a more interesting case where that gives us an extra chidush that we can learn, that even a consecrated animal that was disqualified, still the owner would not be liable. However, this addition, Mainihu, says, wait, not in every case of a disqualified consecrated animal would the owner not be liable, only in the case of a bechor. Okay, if you're not confused enough yet, these few words are actually do not belong in the Talmud. In fact, as Tosafot says, this is an addition, a later addition from the Geonim, Rav Yehudai Gaon, who wrote Halachot Gedolot. And you can see in this manuscript, which is in the Hamburg library, that here's an actual picture of the manuscript. It says, Amukdashin Shenakhu, and go straight into Abaye. And it does not say anything about the Bechor. But it does have a little line over here in between that says you should stick in these words. And if you look on the side, right, someone stuck these words into the manuscript that say, Umaynihu Shor Bechor de la Parik Le. That's one manuscript. So although it is in the earlier printed editions, in the modern Vilna, it's in parentheses. That should be taken out. And although it is in this one manuscript and here is stuck in, but you see that it's not found in a number of manuscripts and was not in the original Hamburg. So this gives proof to Tosafot's statement that this was added in as a commentary. So it's a fine commentary, but there are those who disagree with it. And could be talking about other types of consecrated animals. Okay, so anyway, back to the main point, which is that we have two oxen that gore a third one. One of them, the owner is liable because it's just a regular animal. The other one is, we could just call it consecrated because it would be the same thing. Point is, it was consecrated, now it's blemished, or it's consecrated now. Either way, the owner is not liable. But yet they both gored, so they do have shared responsibility. So how are we going to calculate the amount that the unconsecrated one pays? The consecrated one never has to pay everything, but what about the other guy? What does he have to pay? Machloket. Abaye amar meshalem chasi nezek. Ravina amar meshalem ribia nezek. Abaye says the owner of the unconsecrated pays half, and Ravina says he pays only a quarter. Why should this be so? We're going to see a few different ways of explaining their machloket. Here's one way. Ha veha betam. Ha kerabanan veha kerabinatan. We could say that both animals are tam, and so therefore the liability is limited to hatsi nezek, only half. But Ravina, who says a quarter, he's following Rabbanan. Since this is I'm the owner of the unconsecrated animal. So since it's a short tam, I only have to pay half. Half of what? Half of my share of the liability. Since there is a partner, I only am responsible for half of the nezek, And since it's a short tam, I only pay half of that. That's how you get a quarter. And the owner of the other animal will pay zero. Whereas Abaye is going to follow Rabbi Natan, who says that any amount that the other guy doesn't pay, because he's exempt for whatever reason, that falls on to the one who does pay. And so therefore, I, the owner of the unconsecrated animal, I have to pay a half. I have to pay my quarter, because my half of the responsibility, but I also have to pay for the other, since the other guy didn't pay, I have to pay, and I still have to pay up to half, because it's a short time, so I have to take care of the entire Hatsi Nezek. That's one answer. Or another answer is, everybody's following Rabbanan, that I, the owner of the unconsecrated ox, only have to pay for my share. But the Rabbi Abaye and Rabbi Nahu are actually talking about two different cases. Rabbi Nahu said a quarter, says that we're talking about a short tam. So therefore, I'm only liable to half of it because I have a partner and I don't have to deal with his half because we're following Rabbanan. And of that half, it's a short tam, so I only pay a quarter. Whereas Abaye says that we're talking about a short mu'ad. That's the case he was talking about. There's really no machloket, talking about two different cases. And since a short mu'ad, so I'm only responsible for half the liability because I have a partner, and so go to him for the other half. But that's not my problem. He's not going to pay, but I don't have to pay because we're following the banan. But shor mu'ad, so I have to pay the entire amount of my liability, which is the full half. That's the second. Third answer. Ika d'amre Abaye amar hasi nezek, Rabbi Nahu amar kule nezek. The third explanation actually changes the terms. Abaye remains the same. He said hasi nezek. But Rabbi Nahu and I were changing what he said from a quarter to a whole, which is kind of curious. Maybe our tradition was that Abaye said a half and Rabbi Nahu disagrees. But which way does he disagree? Is he more lenient or more stringent? Anyway, this is another, brings up another set of possible explanations. Since Rabbi Nahu says the full amount, so we can explain as follows. That everybody's talking about a short mu'ad. But Rabbi Nahu, who said that you have to pay the full amount, that would be actually like Rabbi Natan, because Rabbi Natan says, listen, the shor mu'ad, so, and there's two partners, so I'm liable to half. The other guy is liable to half, but that guy's not going to pay because that's consecrated. So therefore, whatever he doesn't pay, I have to pay. Shor mu'ad, I'm going to have to pay the whole thing. Whereas Abaye, who says half nezek, that would be like Rabbanan. Rabbanan say that I don't have to pay for his half. That's their problem. And they're not going to pay at all. And I only pay my half. I have to pay half because it's a shor mu'ad, so I have to pay the entire amount I'm liable for, but I'm only liable to half because there is a partner. And the last explanation is, still we're keeping with the half, and the Rabbi Nahu says all, and both are following Rabbi Natan. So Rabbi Nahu says it's a short mu'ad, and that's why I have to pay the full amount. That would basically be the same as here, as this setup. And Abaye says, we're talking about a short tam. Since it's a short tam, so I have to pay for my liability is limited to hasi nezik. Now, since I have a partner, really, I only have to pay a quarter. But since my partner can't pay, doesn't need to pay, so I have to pay my quarter and his quarter also. That adds up to a half. All right, that was a fun logic experiment. Amar Rava, Shor ve'adam shedachafu labor le'inyan nezekin kulan hayavin. Now we have an even more complicated case where there are three factors. You have a regular ox and a person that both push a victim, a person or ox, into a bod. So the bod is the third partner that is causing liability. Linyan nizakin kulan hayavin. Regarding damage that happens to the person, let's say we all three push a person into it, and the person gets damaged, we all have to share the liability of the damages, because any one of us alone, right, an ox that pushes someone, a person that pushes someone, or a person that falls into a pit, each of these three would be liable. So now we are all have shared liability. However, regarding the other four payments for livelihood, pain, medical cause, humiliation, or if the person that fell in was a pregnant woman who loses her offspring. So only a human is responsible, right? A human, the four payments are only paid when a human harms another human. So that would, only the human would have to pay those things, whereas the owner of the ox and the owner of the pit do not have to pay for the four other payments or for the lost offspring. Linyan kofed u'shloshim shel ebed. Now, if the three of us pushed a human in and killed the person, or the three of us pushed a slave in and killed the slave, for which usually a slave that's killed, one has to pay 30 coins. Well, in that case, only shor hayav, the payment of kofed, right, is only if my animal kills another person, then I have to pay kofed if it's a shor mo'ad. And only if my animal kills a slave, then I have to pay 30. Both of these are limited to my ox that kills. But if a human kills someone, a person, regular person or slave, or a bor kills a person or a slave, they do not pay kofed. They may get capital punishment. They don't pay kofed, and they don't pay the 30 coins as a fine for killing a slave. Linyan kelim veshor pisuleh muktashin adam veshor hayabin ubor patur. Now, if we three together pushed in something and caused the vessels to break, or the animal that fell in was not a regular animal, but it was a consecrated animal that got disqualified, or it could just as well be a fully consecrated animal. In that case, if the human would be liable to his share, and the regular ox also would be liable, because a human that breaks vessels or damages a consecrated animal is liable. So to a shor that damages vessels or a consecrated animal is also liable. But for bor, not liable, right? A bor that damaged vessels, the owner of the bor is not liable. And also a bor that damages a consecrated animal, any time where the baal habor cannot take the nevela, the dead animal, and use it for himself, the owner of the bor does not have to pay. My tama, how do you know that last law? Amar kera v'hamet yihye lo, b'mi shehamet shelo, yasaze she'en hamet shelo. In the context of a bor, it says that the carcass will be his, meaning it will belong to the owner of the pit. Therefore, the owner of the pit is only liable in a case where he can keep the carcass. But in a case like this, where he cannot keep the carcass because he can't do anything with it because it's consecrated, so the owner of the pit does not even have to pay for it. Okay, very interesting. This is a good a homework experiment for students, right, to have to figure out in this case which one is liable and which one's not. But now we ask, Rava was the author of this entire statement. Now, lememra de peshita le l'Rava, so that means Rava knows for sure this last halakha, but didn't have a question about it. Hamibaya ba'e l'Rava. Rava actually presented a dilemma about this very question. Deba'e Rava, shor pesol mikdashin shenafal lebor mahu, if a consecrated ox that got disqualified fell into a bor, what is the law? Hi, havamet yihye lo b'mi shehamet shelo yasa zeh she'en hamet shelo. Do we say, as we just did, this midrash, that the consecrated animal, the animal, so the carcass belongs to the owner of the pit, so he's only liable if he can keep the carcass, but if he can't keep the carcass, then he's not liable? Do we say that, which is what we just assumed? Or maybe that the carcass is his, the his actually refers to the owner of the animal, that the owner of the animal, he has to go and take the carcass, and he has to deal with it, sell it, whatever he can get for it. But it's his responsibility, which is the opposite explanation. And Rava himself wasn't sure about it, but yet in the halakha that he just presented, he seems to know that it is in fact the owner of the pit that keeps it. So the answer is batad debaya hadar pashta. He did have this question originally, but after he had the dilemma, he looked into it, he researched, and he came to the conclusion of this, the first midrash, that indeed the owner of the pit gets the carcass, and if he can't get it, then he doesn't have to pay at all. Okay, ela be'alim etapelim b'nebelam minaleh. So now if we use this, v'hamet yehelo, in the context of a pit, to teach me that halacha, then where do we learn this other halacha that the owner of a carcass, it's the owner that has to deal with it? When does that apply? Nafkale min hametihelo deshor. Oh, this phrase hametihelo also appears in the context of an ox that kills another ox, and it says hametihelo. So we learn from that hametihelo that the owner of the dead ox is the one that takes the nevela and he has to deal with it, not the owner of the attacking ox. Now we ask, my chazit de v'amet yelo de shor mapkat le lebealim metapelim benevela v'amet yelo de bor mapkat le lemisha amet shelo epuch ana. Now these are exact same words. So why did you see fit that this phrase v'amet yelo said regarding an ox? From there you learn that the owner of the dead ox keeps it and he has to deal with it. But the same phrase, amet yelo, that said in the context of a pit, that we learn that the owner of the pit keeps it, and if he doesn't can't keep it because it's a sud bahana'a, then he doesn't have to pay at all. Why don't you switch them around and say that the laws apply the other way around? And the answer is mistabera patur gabe bor hoilu patar bo et hakelim. It makes sense that the leniency is that if the nebela is not usable, then he's off the hook. It makes sense that we should apply a leniency to the owner of the pit, because the owner of the pit also has another leniency that he doesn't have to pay for vessels that are broken. So we already see that we are lenient for him regarding one law. So it makes sense that the lenient of this leniency also should apply for him. Now we ask, adraba patur gabe shor sheken patar bo hasi nezek. Wait a second. An owner of an ox also has a leniency that if he is a short tam, then he only has to pay hasi nezek. That leniency of hasi nezek does not apply to a shor. So maybe we should take this leniency of, if you can't use the ox, then you don't have to pay at all, and apply it to the shor who has a leniency. And we answer, no. Kule nezek mihat la'ashkehan. We never find regard in a case of an attacking ox, a goring ox, that he doesn't have to pay anything at all. Right? Either he has to pay full amount, shor mu'ad, or half for chasi nezek. But still, he has to pay something. The greater leniency is that regarding board, where if it's vessels, he doesn't have to pay anything at all. So it makes sense to apply this other law in which he doesn't have to pay anything at all, because the nevela cannot be used, that should be applied to the board and not the shor. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen ve'amen.